You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Jonathan Capehart, here today for Leonard Lopate, and this is WNYC and WNYC.org. There's bad economic news everywhere these days, and with the unemployment rate over 9% and few companies hiring, many people in their 20s and 30s are turning to creative ways to support themselves. In his latest novel, Tony D'Souza tells the story of one young couple, James and Kate, who end up turning to drug running to support themselves and their young family. Mule is published by Mariner Books, and I'm pleased that it brings Tony D'Souza to the studio today. Welcome.
Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for having me in.
Thanks for coming in. Now, when the novel opens, James is a freelance journalist, writing magazine stories and living in Austin, Texas. How does he meet Kate?
He's having a good role in his career, kind of similar to one I had.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten his stuff in The New Yorker, Playboy, and Esquire, and he's sort of on top of the world like many of us were in 2006. He meets her at a party, and they have this whirlwind romance. She's a manager of a major apparel store in downtown Austin. So they're living the high life, like lots of us were, and I think many of us thought it would never end.
So how does Kate lose her job?
She's laid off in the first wave of the real layoffs. What I'm happiest about mm-hmm. this book, which is about drug running and a couple who turns to drug running because they've lost their jobs, is that I didn't look at the contemporary news and say, "Oh, there's a recession going on. Let me write a recession book."
Mm-hmm.
You know, this book really happened to us in the sense that I was a freelancer, and 2008, everything fell off a cliff for me. My wife was laid off from a job. We did have a baby coming, and it was a really terrifying time. So when I write about things about like dealing with COBRA, dealing with mm-hmm. Getting unemployment insurance and jumping through hoops to get medical help and all that stuff, we did those things. So as far as the drug running goes...
anticipating my question, Tony. Keep going.
Yeah, as far as the drug running goes, that came from just a organic tie-in in this... Well, that's a funny word to use for that. But after I was in the Peace Corps in West Africa, where I served in Ivory Coast and saw the Civil War there, I went to live in Northern California. And I just happened to live in a place of a lot of marijuana growing, and I became friends with people who did that. So it wasn't a stretch to tie these two things together because... I'd seen the money people made. I'd seen the piles of cash myself, and you know those temptations, did cross my mind too when we had our hard time.
So this was all part of the which came first. Your seeing the piles of cash and the talking to the growers and things, or was it the idea for the book and then this became part of your research?
No, our relationships with the people who allowed me to do this research, that came first. That came as early as 2003.
Mm-hmm.
But the recession hit us in 2008, and then the idea for the book came around 2009.
And you just said that it was tempting, basically become the character that's in your book. What stopped you from going fully the route that James took in your book?
I mean, what stopped me is that I didn't want to go to prison. So
it's a good motivator.
I didn't necessarily have the guts to do this, but the temptation is the money. You know, mm-hmm. this is all about money. This is all about security. And as a new father, these things were going through my mind. So to say it was a scary time, I think that, what I like about my career as a freelancer is that I feel sort of in touch with America out there. And the friends that we were having, people have lost their jobs. People mm-hmm. have been laid off twice now. You know what I mean? And it's not always the story, I guess, that gets covered, but it's really, really bad out there,
mm-hmm.
and it's bad for people with degrees and professional people. This is a different sort of recession in that sense, that people who would have had jobs before are not getting those jobs. So is it a stretch to imagine that a professional couple would turn to drug trafficking? No, I don't mm-hmm. think so.
Well, I mean, you make concessions to put food on the table, keep a roof over your head, and keep the lights on. What kinds of concessions does James start making in order to do that, to put food on the table?
He becomes a drug trafficker. Like, I mean, in the beginning...
was that his first idea? let me become a drug trafficker? Did he do other things before?
Oh, you mean did he look for work? Yeah, he did the same things I did, which sent my resume out everywhere, applied for jobs without end, you know, just waiting for a callback. Nothing comes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to applicant pools, and there's hundreds of people there. I mean, it's just, you know, that's what he tries to do it. And then he gets this opportunity. He's going to do it one time only, and then the cash is sitting before him, and it becomes something else.
And how did that opportunity present itself to James?
Well, he marries Kate, and she's from Northern California, and she's able to introduce him to those people.
Ah, so she so she knows all those folks. Now, he's incredibly naive. Like, Kate has to tell him, you know, how to deal with people in this new world that he finds himself in. No?
Well, I think James is a complex character in the sense that he's smart. He actually uses the skills he had as an investigative journalist. He figures out about money laundering. He figures out about Safeways. He reads all about the real stuff, like high intensity drug trafficking areas run by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. He does his homework to stay safe.
But does he do it by Google?
Absolutely, by Google, by reading, by getting police PDF files, which anyone can get. I mean, this is the sort of research I did myself, and into money laundering too. It's fascinating stuff. So I feel good about anyone who reads this book is going to have their finger on the pulse of how drug trafficking works today in America today, and money laundering too. So if you're interested in doing any of that, this book's a great, you know, Mule is a great
it's a great resource.
Handbook. Handbook, really.
Is James exactly cut out for this work? I mean, he's a smart man, as you said, but is he cut out for this?
Well, I think he's not cut out for it in the sense that he's only driven to do it by the recession. But what he finds is that it's something he's able to do. He has, you know, his morals sort of decay or descend to the sense he can do it. He's good at it. He likes the money. He has good people management skills, and he sets up a interstate drug cartel. So
He enjoys the money. Does he enjoy the thrill of it? I can't imagine that it's, you know, all the time fun and games. There must be some anxiety involved.
Well, it's, you know, it's a very tense book. I mean, it's not a traditional thriller. It's a literary thriller, but it is a thriller. Mm-hmm. It's a page turner, and he does feel, you know, the fear on the road of being caught. At the same time, he feels the thrills of seeing the money when he gets his hands on it, $50,000 in cash, a big block of money sitting in front of him. Now, I was able to see money in that sense, you know, and it's drug money. It's not this clean money we see on TV in the suitcases and stuff. It's crumpled. It's been, you know, gathered together from street deals and stuff like that. So drug money is usually filthy, dirty money. That's why it's called filthy money. It's physically filthy. This stuff thrills him. And he feels engaged by having to use his mind to get these things done, the logistics of drug trafficking. And so those aspects of it appeal to him.
Mm-hmm. One aspect, James is white. How does that figure into his thinking about how he does his trafficking, how he operates as a mule? Does he use it to his advantage or think that he has an advantage because he's white?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I definitely wanted to talk about contemporary issues in America. And, you know, the book is not completely about race in America, but there are African-American characters who, you know, James gets away with this because he's white. He knows he's not being profiled. He knows the police are profiling Hispanics, non-English-speaking Hispanics, and African-Americans, and he feels a sense of security. Whether that's true or not, it gives him the mental ability to do this.
I'm speaking with Tony D'Souza about his new novel, Mule, which is published by Mariner Books. I'm Jonathan Capehart, in for Leonard Lopate. Now, we're talking about the character James. He learns the seedier side of being a mule and has to learn how to cope with people who lie and break promises. Is that a side of the business that James took into account when he set out? Did he even think of that?
Well, he definitely deals with people on a level of honesty. So when he's eventually ripped off by someone, I think he overreacts and really takes it to heart. But the interesting stuff about this and that came out of my research, the journalism end of this book, was, you know, the world of drugs, of any illicit crime, you know, people have to deal with interpersonal problems, business problems on their own, and he certainly can't turn to the police when he gets ripped off. So, you know, the violence that we see in this book, in real life and stuff like that, these are These are private police forces dealing with each other. You know, in some ways, the Mexican cartel war in northern Mexico and stuff like when you see all these bodies piling up, these are issues, turf wars, turf battles, and things like that. You cannot go to the court system. You have to solve these things on your own. Too often it turns into violence.
Is he shocked by the violence that he sees?
He's shocked by the violence he finds within himself.
So how the violence within himself manifests itself? How?
It manifests itself in violence, and it also.
I mean, are we talking guns? Are we talking knives? Are we talking? Does he actually kill someone, shoot someone? I don't want you to give away the book, but
we're talking about
a guy who was a freelance journalist who now is in this whole other world.
I don't want to give away the book, but it's violence, and there are two particular moments of physical violence where he hits someone, and it's not a gun, it's not a knife, it's his own hands, and he's shocked by the level of anger and rage within himself, and this was a way for me to write about how I feel about the recession. Mm-hmm. About how I feel, my contemporaries feel about the recession. It's not just fear, but there's also rage because we do feel that politicians, business leaders have wronged us. And I feel that.
That the American dream, such as it was, has been, do you feel it's been taken away from you and taken away from others who might see James and a bit of James in themselves?
Well, I didn't buy a house. I couldn't afford to, but I didn't buy a house. James doesn't buy a house, and yet they're, you know, we've both been hammered by the recession, even though we didn't make those mistakes. So, I think that the run up that we saw, the bubbles that were made, you know, even if you didn't participate in that, you're suffering now, mm-hmm. and I think there's some cause for anger there.
a little bit. We have less than a minute left, but I have to ask you this. You know, there's shows like Breaking Bad and Weeds and Hung that have depicted, you know, the average educated middle class person, in most all these cases white person, who have turned to dealing or manufacturing or trafficking drugs, or in the case of Hung, prostitution, to make ends meet. Did any of those serve as an inspiration?
You know, I had never seen Breaking Bad when I was working on this book, and I'm really glad I didn't. I really like most of those shows and what they're doing. And obviously, there's a trend, so I feel grateful to be a part of it. Mule is different than those in that it feels more real, and it's less soap opera. And the hard facts of drug trafficking and the journalism involved in this book are more in this world than those shows, which are great shows, and I love them. but it's as entertaining as those with more nuts and bolts facts.
I've been speaking with Tony D'Souza about his novel Mule, which is published by Mariner Books. Tony, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.